What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to another great episode of The Stoop, where we talk hoops, hoops, and more hoops. I'm your guy, TJ, and I'm by myself tonight, but we're going to still rock and roll. We want to thank everybody for their likes, subscribes, and they tuning in, man, and just staying with us, man, and creating that buzz for us. But before we get started, I got to make sure I introduce and say salute to our special sponsors. First up is Jave Tequila, man, coming three smooth flavors. We got our regular, we got our mango and our jalapeno. Salute out to my guy, Joe and Big Ron. Jave's the move, y'all. And also, too, got to say shout out to 24/7. We got our customized balls. If you got a tournament, you got a church league, whatever you got, man, holler at my guy Dave at 24/7 Basketball, and they'll take care of what you need, all right? Cool. Salute to my guy, Kev P, who can't be with us tonight, but Kev P, I'm going to hold it down. So without that being said and further ado, I got to salute a young man, man, so I've known for some time, man, and he's a little bro, but not as haphazardly every day that you get a two-time Grammy Award-winning percussionist, a young man that you've probably seen keep the time and keep the tempo, keep the beat for your favorite artist, his favorite artist. We talking Meek, we talking Future, we talking BB Rexha, Flowetry, Marsha Ambrosia, the list goes on, gotta mention Future as well. This young man is no stranger for when it comes to doing music. He has his own project out right now called Home on all major platforms. He's a Philadelphia representative, man, and we just gonna have a great conversation. This is Lil Bro. I know him as Ice Cold, but ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Trey Lambert. Trey, what's going on, man? Salute to you and thank you.
Yo, my boy.
Appreciate you,
man.
My
boy.
Listen, you grew up in the church, man, and I know the research and I've done it, and I know your grandfather came home with the flea market with the set, but was that the first time somebody put some actual sticks in your hand? Or if not, give us a story of who actually put the first pair of sticks in your hand.
Man, so you probably don't remember my boy Willie from my church, man. So Willie was a drummer at the church first. And then I guess I just grabbed the sticks from him or whatever. I don't really know the story, like, you know, 100%, but definitely started like that, you know, and my mom, my dad just having me, you know, just in the mix with the music and my dad being in Virginia and my mom and him meeting in college. They had like a choir down in Richmond. And so I was always around music from that. And then when coming home, once Willie, you know, started playing drums at the church, it was just a given, you know, it was just something where it was just, I guess I must've just seen a pair of sticks laying down and I grabbed them and the rest was history.
Definitely. So since 8 years old, you jumped off playing an offering, and then after a while, I just took on that, like, you was doing everything from praise and worship, offering, pretty much the whole service, man. But from the standpoint of Philadelphia, man, coming from Philadelphia, born and bred, what do you think about when you talk about the legendary music scene of Philadelphia? Now, you being a part of that legendary music scene, and why do you think that potentially Philly's definitely underrated when it comes to music?
Man, honestly, bro, like, I don't even think we underrated. I just think that, like you have waves, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got shifts and you got times when at this moment, the East Coast may be hotter than the West Coast, or down South may be hotter than up North, or, you know, you had T.I., then you had Jay-Z, and then you had The Game, you know what I mean? But everybody had their turn, and I feel like just right now, you know, the tables are still in front of us, the plate is still in front of us, but, you know, this is time for other people to shine right now. Like, it's definitely going to come back around, you know, the table always spinning. So, but that's why, you know, you got people like myself and, you know, my dogs and my friends that's doing what they doing as well from the city. So, you know, we've been rocking, you know, since I was a kid. You know, Philly always been on top when it come to the live music. Like, it's never a time where we not rolling, because it's just different shifts. You know, right now we got Adam Blackstone and some other Philly natives that's been rocking and holding it down for every television network that's been going on, television show that's been going on since the pandemic. You got people like on the Grammys, you got Mugs on doing the VMAs, doing all different types of stuff like the Super Bowl. You know what I'm saying? We had people from Philly on the Super Bowl, you know, so that's it's definitely just, it's levels, you know what I'm saying? And not to say that we at the bottom of the totem pole, but we definitely at the top. We just gave somebody just a little bit more shine right now, and that's all.
Absolutely. I don't think people realize, like, shout out to Adam Blackstone, man, like, who's an amazing composer and orchestrator of music in his own right. And I don't think people really understand, like, it's not only about what you see on the screen per se. There's a lot of cats in the background doing it heavy, and he's one of those. So shout out to
Real
him,
talk.
Man. Yeah, definitely. Let me ask you this, man. When I say these four words, United Missionary Baptist Church, what's the first thing that resonates in your soul?
Home.
Got it. Got
That's
it.
it. Like, it ain't, I don't really have no definition, like, for real, because honestly, that's where it started at, you know, that's where I realized my purpose. That was the last place I was at before I got shot, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's how deep it go. Like,
right.
That's, I go to my church almost every day, you know, and that's somewhere where it's like when I'm on tour, or if I'm on stage, or I'm doing something for an artist, they always know that either before the show or after the show, I'm going back home to church. You know, it's not, there's no giving. Like, that's where that's my comfort zone. So that's really it, man. Like, that's home to me. Like, when I, even on the cover art for home, I'm sitting on my church step, you know what I'm saying? I ain't nowhere else. Like, that's, when I think of home, I think of my church.
Definitely.
Yeah.
So we both, bro, come from church backgrounds and mothers who was always entrenched in the church. And shout out to your lovely mother, Minister Pastor Chandra Williams. That's my girl. Shout out to her.
Yeah.
But when we get into other lanes, like, you know, we both probably have crossed over into secular music or what they call worldly music. What was that like when you said, yo, listen, I'm going to jump off and do this? What was the undertaking? What was your family saying? What was your people saying? What was the thoughts behind that?
Well, I had to. My mom and my dad, they never judged me with anything I had to do in life. You know, of course it was, you got to be grounded. And you got to, you know how it go. Like, we had to go to conventions. We had to do that stuff. It was stuff I didn't want to do that I was doing there, you know, but it was like, it was mandatory. I had to do it. And that's just the foundation. You know what I mean? So it's definitely something where, you know, my grandma wasn't really with it at first. You know, she really wasn't, that wasn't something she was a part of. She really didn't understand it until she saw how serious it was. Like it kind of took her to see me at the hospital and seeing all these different people coming to see me and trying to figure out, like, all right, what does my grandson really do for a living? Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was Black people, it was white people, it was Jewish people, it was Italians in there, it was the mob, it was the drug dealers, it was people flying from all over. And then you had Meek, then you had Future, then you had Zaytoven, then you had all these different people that was just there, and you had bishops, then you had teachers. Like, it was so much going on. So she just like, okay, like, all right, I seen you at your gig with Ty, and you know, everybody was dancing and all that. They was talking about you, but this ain't that. This ain't Ty, this ain't, you know what I'm saying? Like, this ain't GA, this ain't that. So it's like, all right, what you doing? So it kind of took her to really see me in that light, which was bad, but it was still good, because it was like, you know, it was a sad moment, but, you know, I still came out, you know what I mean? And then nobody come there on some negative rah-rah type stuff. Like, people was there on they knew what I was about. You know, it could have went left a couple of times, but just because of my walk and how I move and just how I carry myself, people didn't really take it that far. But recently, back in 2019, before the pandemic, my grandma came to my show and I was opening up for the Jonas Brothers. Okay. And that really, like, opened her eyes. Like, okay, like, we not at the church concert. Like, we in a sold out arena. You've been out for the whole 2019. You're not coming home for another 4 months, but this is what you're doing. You know what I mean? So, you know, it's definitely hard. You know, it's definitely that thing where, like, I see other people that's in church and they switch over to go to the secular world and they get blasted for it. Like, I never carried myself like a churchy guy. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like, we always was getting fly. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, that was something that's just what we was on. Like, of course we had to wear our suits and all that, but I wasn't out here on some, like, you know, I came home to the hood. I came home to my cousins. You know what I mean? That was on the block. Like, I was with my cousin for four weeks after school was over and we was in summer break, and then I left to go to my dad's and he got murked. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I was there, you know? So it's like, life is different when you keeping it real. Like, people look at you different than when you keep it 100. And I know that for myself, just how my grandfather, like, raised us up to be, like, he never switched up. You know what I mean? Like, he always was the same person in any situation. He can go and walk up to a drug dealer, go and walk up to a Muslim, go and walk up to an Asian guy or whoever, and still remain the same. And nobody look at him three different ways. You know what I mean? They all looked at him the same way. So I just try to move like that. And me moving like that, it just made my switch over, or I hate saying that, like, but it's just reality. But but just my switch over to that world, like, it didn't make it as drastic as I thought it was going to be. Of course, I got tested. You know, like, I'm not going to lie and say that it wasn't no testing, no trials. Like, but it definitely was a situation, you know, where people was trying to figure out, like, this boy different. You know what I'm saying? Like, what he do? Like, what's different? And it's like, it ain't me being different. I'm just called to do what I'm doing. Like, I'm anointed to do this. Like, this ain't no gift that I just received. Like, you know what I mean? Like, people spoke this over my life. So It was easy, man. I ain't gonna lie. Like it was easier than what I thought it was gonna be. I can say that.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
I'm glad it was easy for you because it wasn't easy for me. But it's all right.
But I mean, listen, man, like it's at the end of the day, man, like I feel like we all go through different things differently because of the outcome. It's not always about what's going on when you're doing it. It's about the outcome. It's about now you are where you are, or you're going where you're going. And then people look back at it like, okay, I understand it now. I get why you did it. Like I'm saying, like you never switched up. You know what I mean? Like you, and that's just something just because of our background and our mothers and, you know, the people that we was around. Like if I was to switch up and I would have came over here and I would have became this rock star cokehead and I'm selling drugs and I'm tatted on my face and all this, I ain't going to church no more. Yeah. Forget the church. Then it'd have been different, you know what I mean? But you ain't moved like that. So, but people would have really, it's everybody has an assumption. Like everybody assumes stuff before it happens. It's period, that's just life. You know, my first tour, I took a whole hockey bag full of clothes because I assumed that I was gonna need to get dressed every day. And I didn't need none of that stuff. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? I didn't need none of it. I was wearing the same clothes every day almost, you know what I mean? But it's like with life and what we have going on, like we assume, and people assume, my grandma assumed that I was going to be this worldly kid and all of that until she realized, dang, you was just here. Why you at church today? You was in Dubai. Yeah, I'm at church. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's my thing. Oh, you about to leave right in the middle of service? Yeah, I got to go catch a flight. Right. I got to go to LA. I got to go here, or I got to go overseas. But it's like, all right, I'm showing you, like, that's not what I'm doing. I'm not doing this for that. I'm doing this because I could go buy a Rolly. I could make sure my mom good. I could buy my little cousin some clothes. I could feed my goddaughter. I could go shopping. I could treat my friends to dinner. I can pay my tithes, buy equipment for the church. Like I could do stuff for myself where I'm not really out here just to be, you know what I mean? Like just be wilding or doing drugs or flexing and all of that. Like, cause that's just not the type of person I am. That's just not how I was raised. So it's different.
Facts, like, facts. Let me ask you this question, man. It's called the call. Cause for me, more recently in the last couple of years, I've been getting some calls that were just like, and I don't believe they're on the line and they want me to DJ here. They want me to host here and I'll be here. And you have an astronomical, unparalleled, like you said, anointing in your life and calling on your life that's been so blessed by the Most High. My question to you is, when you got that first call to work with a major artist, what was that like for you? What was it? Talk about that.
Tying GA was that was something that was a given. You know what I'm saying? Like I didn't know that I was gonna play for them. But that call was crazy by itself. Like, let me not lie and say that wasn't something where it changed my life. It wasn't really the call that really changed my life to play for them. It was the rehearsal that I had got set up into. That was crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I was in rehearsal with Ty and his brother Thaddeus Tribbett. And that was like something that was like, I've been watching GA and I've been around GA my whole life. So like in that moment, it was like, I just couldn't believe it. And there wasn't no social media. It wasn't really no cell phone. Like we wasn't really on that. Like, you know, we was living in a moment in that time. Like, so that's something I don't remember. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how crazy it was. So that was something that was like really like a highlight in my life. But the call, man, I can say my first tour with Marcia was like the call for me. I had stopped playing for Ty back in like August of 2013. And we had just finished the Greater Than album. And we had like a big service at my church. I think it was like my mom's like anniversary or something like that.
Okay.
And Jay-Z and Justin Timberlake was on tour. And that week before that, I had like a interaction with Adam Blackstone, Omar Edwards, Tony Royster, Brian Frazier Moore.
That's the name that is.
Yeah, like just like my big bros. Like, and you know, I told him my situation, what I had going on and all. And it was like, man, like you good. Like you gonna be straight, like we got your back. And you know, people talk, you know what I'm saying? Old heads talk. They'd be like, yeah, we got you.
Got you.
And I'm like, all right, bet, whatever. I took it for a grain of salt. Like, but you know, my faith is so high, bro. Like, I really don't be relying off of nobody. Like, that's not my thing. Like, can't nobody tell me no. So it's like, I don't really, like, if I want to do something, I'm going to do it. So I knew that I was supposed to be doing something, but I didn't know exactly what it was. And at the time, all I had was my On The One brand. So I was caking off of that. Like, but that Sunday, I got a call It was like, it was Monday morning. So it had to be like 3 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning. It was, excuse me. It was Adam Blackstone, Daryl Robinson and Marsha Ambrosius. And she was headed back from her first show, from her tour. And she on the phone like, hello, what's up? Adam on the phone like, yo, what up? Yo, Marsha need a drummer. I'm like, what? She like, yeah, I heard you the hottest young boy. Da, 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 da. I'm like, I mean, I'm all right. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I'm doing it. Like,
humble.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm like, all right, like what's going on? Like, she like, well, I need a drummer. Like, who you want to play with? So I picked the bass player and she already had a keyboard player. And I'm like, she like, all right, we got rehearsal tomorrow. I'm like, all right. So I go to rehearsal and we do the rehearsal. And she like, all right, the first show tomorrow. I'm like, the first show? Like, what you mean? Like, she like, yeah, we got a show at the TLA tomorrow. I'm like, the TLA? Like, yeah. All right. So we do the show. She like, all right, well, go get your clothes. We leaving. I'm like, where we going? She like, yeah, we out. We going on the tour. This is the second show of the tour. We got 17 more shows, 21 more shows to do. Like, I'm like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, so that was something that like changed my life, because I feel like I always get placed in positions like very weirdly. Like, that weirdly is not a word, but I get placed into positions at like, you know, weird times. So it's wow. Like a situation where I don't like, they come unexpected, you know. And I every time my friends have a birthday, I always be like, cheers to the unexpected blessings, because like, you know, that's just how it come. Like from that point with Marsha to even to me playing for Future, you know what I'm saying? Like, Zaytoven found me on Twitter through somebody who was a part of Young Money, Chanel, who found me through my big bro, Eric Tribbett, who taught me my audition to get into my high school, my middle school. You know what I mean? So like a video that I did for Uzi went viral on Twitter and she saw it, and Zaytoven called me. I ain't know no Zaytoven. We coming from church. All I know is Beethoven. You know what I mean? Like, called me. I get out there to Atlanta and this dude is me. Just an older version. He's a church guy, play at church every Sunday, and he's friends with all the hood guys. You know what I mean? He make music. You know what I mean? So it was just like timing is everything, but then it goes back to what we was talking about before with the secular stuff. Like, that's God put me in these positions to where I'm not out there for real. Like, you know what I mean? I could be playing for people that's really out there, but instead I'm playing for the ones that have the biggest names but still connected to him. So, you know what I mean? Like, it's a blessing. So.
Definitely. Yeah. Man, listen, I've watched your aunt, I watched your mother, and even your grandmother, you know, sing to the Most High, man. It just sing the soul crazy. But now, man, most of the times you think about percussionists, they in the background setting the tempo, setting the speed, setting whatever. You now have become a vocalist in your own right. Talk about that transition for you. What's that like, man? And you know, why don't drummers get the, you know, the kudos for being vocalist on a lot of music, man?
Man, we be scared, bro. That's really, really we be scared, bro. Like, I think for me, like, you know, I was singing this at church as a kid, but recently it happened because my mom here. What's wrong?
Is it live?
Yeah.
From where?
No, it's not live. Oh. All right, my mom trying to be in the mix.
You
want to
say hello?
You want to come say hi, mom?
I wanted to see it.
What's up, madam? How are you?
You don't even know who that is.
Oh, it's T.
Yeah. Hello. How are you? Good to see you.
It was singing and stuff. I just did it, bro, because it's crazy because I was throwing these birthday parties, right? I throw a birthday party like every year. And I was playing with my church band and I just started singing. And I was like, man, I want to perform. And I did it, and then it was lit. You know what I'm saying? So I was just like, all right, I'm gonna just tap in. Then we started doing like jam sessions, and then that started getting lit. Then I started singing for real. And my mom like, you really could sing. And I'm like, all right, so I'm gonna do it. And then it became something where now when I go to jam sessions, they be asking me to sing. And I'm like, I wanna play drums. They like, all right, well, sing. Like, I sung with, I forgot the guy's name. He's a singer. He's like a young singer in my, it's like a young singer dude. Is he popping? And I did Just Friends with him for the Grammy week, like last year or something like that. And it like went up, like it went viral. But it was like, man, all right, I think I am really supposed to be doing this. Like, so me playing drums is like something. I'm just like, all right, I'm not about to not play drums. I'm not no stand up in the front singing artist. So I got to just do it. And I only know what I want to hear for myself. So
absolutely.
Me playing drums and singing, it was like, yo, it's super lit. It's turned up. It get the people going, you know? So I think for most drummers, I think all drummers could sing. I think we all have that little ability to really hit a note. Yeah. It's mainly like confidence though, because we really use our voice with our drumsticks. So wow. and it's hard, bro.
I know it's difficult for me sometimes to DJ and talk and get the crowd into it. So I can only imagine, because it's a little bit more intricate when you really drumming. Yeah.
Listen, I have to sing. I have to control a band. I have to think about the next song. I gotta hold the beat. I gotta, like, I'm calling out shots. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm making sure the crowd is interacting with us. Like, it's a lot, but you know, listen, man, when you gifted, man, you could do that stuff. You could do more than one thing, you know? So you turned up with this talking and DJing and throwing, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's a gift. It's not something that everybody can do anyway. So it's like, you know, like, you doing it, it's like, all right, you could do it, like, you know? So
definitely. So let's take that a step further, man. Next Gen came about, man. How'd you put that together? And also, let's talk about the project Home. I know for me, a lot of times I'm doing this game, that game, this arena, that arena, and I'm moving around. My mom will call me and say, yo, did you eat? Did you do this? Did you do that? And sometimes I just want to go to Reading. I just want to go to the hood. I just want to sit down and go home. So what's that like for you? Like I said, what was it like putting Next Gen together? What was the concept behind that? And also talk about the project, man, Home. Let's hear about that.
All right. So the band came along. We came about... The band was the church band. That was my church band, right? Okay. So you had at the time, you had my cousin Larry. He had just moved back up here from the A.
Okay.
You had Sheldon. You had Mayor, Henry, and Simon. We all played in the church band together.
Right.
And then you had my boy Oscar, who I tapped in with at the radio. When I had the radio show, he was the sound engineer for the radio show. He was singing background with us. And then you had Eric, who's one of my close friends, playing bass. So that kind of just formed just us just wanting to play together. You know, we just was creating and we were all coming up at the same time musically. So every week we was just playing drums at the church, music at the church every week. So it was just growing. And then I was just like, what's the name of the band? And I couldn't think of nothing, but all I could think about at the time was we hot right now.
Yeah.
Like we, like, you know what I'm saying? Like we are what's hot. Like we are the thing. Like it's not about the past. It's not about the future. Like it's about what's going on right now. In this moment, you got to grasp in this moment. You got to focus on this moment. Like what's going on right now. And that's us. You know what I mean? Like I say that we the Power Rangers, but when we all come together, we create that monster. You know what I mean? We create that. So that's how the name came about. And Home is actually a song that my brother DJ Camper wrote for his dad, who passed away a couple of years ago. Okay. And I fell in love with the song because I just connected to it, you know? And from that point, man, he just basically like, I just was performing it all the time to the point where it was like, it started to be my life, you know? It started to be me. Like I was traveling, I would get on a plane and I'd be going all these places and all of this stuff. And I just always be like, man, I just miss being at home. Like the jam sessions at the crib are different. Like being around my friends are different. Like I'm very loyal, you know what I'm saying? That's a gift and a curse too. But it's like, I'm really a diehard for my family and my friends. Like, you know, like I'm really a diehard for that. So that's something that really just tapped in with me. And Home, I feel like anybody can tap into that, you know? Like, I feel like you can do that. Like my dad, my friends in the street, my homies, my dogs, like they all can adapt to that moment of if you're Christian, Muslim, Jewish, whatever, like you still understand, like it's something about being at home, man. And it don't gotta be specifically my house. Home is your loved ones, homes is your friends. Home is my personal drum set that I'm not renting out. You know what I mean? Home is me sitting at my computer and me sitting at my keyboard in my house and me focusing on that. Like that's home to me. So that's how the song came about, man. And even with the album, man, the name of the album is Thompson Street. And we're gonna drop that right before the summer. We're gonna release that album. But I called it Thompson Street because the church was located at 25th and Thompson.
Got it. You know
what I mean? And that's where it was created at. That's where everything was created at. So Thompson Street, man, that's just my story. It's our story, you know, along with the band as well. But it's my story. You know, I'm just talking about, you know, my testimony, man. Me getting shot, me coming from where I come from, you know what I'm saying? Breakups, you know what I mean? Me being in love now, you know, just it's everything. It's just my story, man. Life, man. So,
life. Yeah. Yeah. Yo, man, listen. Little bro, I'm super proud of you, man. But the OA adage is like this, like, so much is given, much is expected.
Yeah.
For to be a young black male, man, and to get a brand and to start a company and just to start a wave.
Yeah.
You don't see many young black cats with their own line of a stick. This is unheard of. So let's talk about the vision of On The One, what it looks like, the brand, the concept behind it, and man, like where the wave is taking you so far.
Man, yo, so I started my brand On The One because I was going to this thing called NAMM. So NAMM is like the car show for musicians, right?
Absolutely.
So I was going to this big conference, and I was seeing all these like tall people. I call them tall people because they look they look down at us. So I call them tall people. But I was seeing all these tall people walking around and, you know, flexing. And I'm just like...
Yeah.
I play for this person. Like, you know, I can get that too. I can get these drums. I can get that. But little did I know that it wasn't just about that. So I was going up to these companies and I'm like, yo, I'm Trey Way. I play for this person. We shutting down churches. They like, well, who that? I'm like, what? So I was like, all right, cool. So I walked around. It was a whole week. I walked around and I'm just fishing. I'm looking. I'm like, all right, I'm seeing this person do that. I'm seeing how this person moving. I'm seeing all these Tommy Lee. I'm seeing all these different hot stars. I'm like, all right, man, I know. I mean, I'm young Trey. This 17-year-old Trey, 16-year-old Trey. So I'm like, man, I know I'm better than these dudes. Like, I know where I come from. Like, I know what I'm, you know what I mean? Like, I know what I can carry. Like, so the next year I went, I had hats, I had stickers, I had t-shirts, I had a camera crew, I had my friends, my mom, my aunt. I had everything that could show you that I'm hot. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, this is me. So I walked up to everybody that I seen, any artist that was like hot, any celebrity, drummer, musician, whoever. I'm like, man, I need you to say you with the drummer. Like, they like, oh, I'm this person. I'm Shilly and I'm with the drummer. I'm Vidi Coyote. I'm with the drummer. I'm JoJo Mayer. I'm with the drummer. I'm Chris Dan with the drummer. So the third time I went, when I came back to NAMM, everybody knew who I was. You know what I mean? Because it was like, I was a billboard. I was a walking billboard. I was posting blogs every week. I had a radio. No, I ain't had my radio show yet, but I had a vlog that I was posting every week. And, you know, it was showing, you know, my life, you know, being a young boy from North Philly, you know what I'm saying? Trying to be the biggest drummer in the world. You know what I mean? Which is still the goal. Like, I didn't stop, you know, but it went from that to the third time around. When I went to NAMM, it was like, yo, I'm Trey Way. This is what I got. Oh, I know who you are. You're On The One.
Yeah.
Now it's not, yo, I'm Trey Way and I play for this person. It was, I'm my own brand. You need me more than I need you. You need me too. And I'm going to show you why you need me, because I'm lit. And this is why I'm lit. Boom. I got this going on. Back then, 1,000 views in a day on YouTube was big. You know what I'm saying? Now you get... Mother's getting 30,000 views in 3 minutes. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like, now, like back then it was like, oh yeah, like this is it. So even still, they wasn't really looking at my generation of musicians like a thing now. So it was still a little slow, but you know, time went on and I started, you know, progressing and doing what I was doing. And it just got turned up to the point where I started going after companies that didn't really have nobody looking like me.
Right.
So I went to Regal Tip, which was a company based out of Boston. I'm in Connecticut. They didn't have nobody look like me. You know, they had black people on there, but they didn't have no young, bright, fly, vibrant.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm turned up. Like, you know what I mean? They didn't have that. So I walked up to them, and I remember I told Michelle, who's the owner of Regal Tip, I'm like, I love your sticks, but I can make your sticks hot. She was like, what? She was like, what you mean? She's like, what you mean you can make my sticks hot? I said, give me 5 minutes. I walked around the whole NAMM and got all my dogs to come over to the joint. I walked over with like 100 people. I said, this is why I can make it stick hot. And she was like, all right, let's sign. Can we sign right now? I said, no. I said, I'm only signing with you if I can get my own, if I can get my own stick. Right? So
she said,
all right, we're gonna see what's up. I go home, I get shot. Right. So I'm thinking it's over. I'm like, oh my God, like I done got shot. I can't play drums no more. Nothing. So that day I got shot, I got called to play at Coachella with Future and Gucci Mane. So I'm getting back up, you know what I'm saying? You know, getting my body back right. A month out of the hospital, I had to do Ellen with Future. That was like my debut. Like I was like quiet for like 2 months. And then I busted out on TV, like with Future. Like it was like, oh, like the comeback kid. Like, man, they saw that. And they like, I'm like, listen, I'm doing Coachella. I'm headlining Coachella with Future. They like, what? I'm like, yeah, we're going to debut the stick that weekend. They like, huh? Ooh. I'm like, yeah. So I debuted the stick. And this is before anybody was doing takeovers. I took over like 5 Instagram pages. Like I was wilding. Like, I'm like, we making this a thing. Like, you know what I mean? Like this is, it's up. Like, you know, so
definitely.
I just went on that, man. And then from that, you know, people started really seeing, you know, just the moves and me setting up myself in 2012 to be this entity that now we at 2017, 5 years later, and the brand is really taking off to now everybody wearing my clothes. Everybody want to be on the one. Everybody want to be bright. Everybody want to have clothing lines now. Everybody want to do all of this stuff. But the kid that y'all was hating on back in 2012 that was just trying to be himself, now we 5 years in and it's up. So Tama signed me. And even with Tama, you know, I debuted one of their hottest kits out now called the cocktail kit. It's like a stand up, sit down type kit. And I told them like, I got to have my friends in there. So I had my dogs in the video. You know what I mean? Yeah. We ate at Silk City. We had some grilled cheese sandwiches with turkey bacon and we turned up, you know? So yeah. And just from that, man, I just really be trying to live life to the fullest, man. Like, and just, you know, just remain myself and not try to switch up. Cause once you switch up, man, you become corny. So
nah, your credibility
it's shot, bro. It's like, you know, so I just be trying to just remain myself, man, and just, you know, just keep God first.
No doubt. I got a few more questions for you, Ice Cold, before I let you get out here. I know you're super busy. But listen, man, you talked about something that I wanted to hit on. When you talk about daytime television, whether it's Dr. Phil, it's the Steve Harvey Show, it's the legendary Oprah Winfrey, who now has her own network. When you pan into that shot, you see you on Ellen. Forget about the shot. Talk about you backstage with Future and all that, and you saying to yourself, I'm a kid from North Philly who grew up in the church, and now I'm about to be on the number one talk show in America, or maybe even global, as a percussionist. Talk about that moment for a second.
Man.
Look, you're living it right now. I can see you. You can see it.
You know what's crazy, bro?
What?
It took for me to watch it by myself during the pandemic. For me to really be like, yo, I really did that.
Yeah.
You know, it's crazy because like my friends and everybody be hype, my mom, my grand, everybody be going crazy. But in the moment, I really be like, all right, like I really just did this. Like for Ellen, right? For instance, when I did Ellen, she turned around and we took a picture. Nobody takes pictures with her. Like I got a picture with Ellen. Like even like the Future thing, like me and Future's relationship musically is kind of crazy. And you could tell during when we perform together, like it's always a, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was always one of those things. He called me a rock star. And the first time on Ellen, we was cracking a joke. And he was like, man, you're going to be worth like 100, you know what I'm saying? Like 100,000. Like, you're going to walk around with 100,000 in your pocket. Like you the thing. Like, you hot. Right? You the rock star. The first thing he say on Ellen on this taping is, I got about 100,000 on me, right? And looked at me in the video. Like you see that, like, and I'm looking back and I'm like, yo, he was talking to me. Like, you know, I'm like, yo, like, you know what I mean? Like little stuff like that. And I'm just like, man, like, well, now seeing it, the only thing I could really say is like, yo, God is real. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, cause think about it, like 2 months before that, I was a size 31. And that, on that Ellen John, I was a size 28 because I couldn't eat. Cause I had 5 tubes in my body. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like they had my clothes already out and they had to go back out and reshop and buy me clothes that fit the day before because I lost weight. You know what I mean? I couldn't walk. I had to have somebody carry me off the drums. You know what I mean? Like I had to, you know what I'm saying? So it's like when I look at that now, I just be like, man, I can't believe I did Coachella, or I did a sold out tour. I opened up for Katy Perry and Bruno Mars, or, yeah, you know, like just stuff, just playing for all of these artists, having Grammys. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's, it's God. It's not me. It's not self. It's not, I'd be a fool to look at myself on TV and be like, yeah, I did that. No, dog, like, it's God, bro. Like, absolutely. Like, if I never kept him first, I probably would have been dead. I would have been, when I flipped over to the secular world, I would have been doing drugs. I'd have been drinking heavy. I would have been doing all of that, which would have caused me to not have my life, because when I got shot, that's the only thing that saved me, was me not smoking and me not being an alcoholic and me not, that's why my body healed so fast, because of that. Like, so it's like, man, like, I'm just at that place where it's just like, yo, I'm just grateful that God just spared my life. So every time I do go out and I do these type things and I perform on these stages and these arenas and these shows, it don't even be about me. It be about me coming back home.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying? Definitely. So, yeah.
I want to speak on something in my last final three questions that I have for you today, bro. But, you know, it's commonplace for young African-American males, and we both have been a victim to this. Like you said, we are real dudes. So being a part of, you know, gun violence in America is nothing easy to, you know, people glorify it and say, oh, it's this, it's that. But when you had the chance to just sit back and think about it, but in your process of healing, in your process of getting back on your feet, people take a lot of things for granted. What was that one thing that you might have took for granted, but then when you was able to look back at it and give your testament, what was the one thing you just really wanted to thank God for in that moment?
My gift. Gotcha. My gift. I took my gift for granted. I got to a place where I felt like I was untouchable. I felt like I can go anywhere. Like, I was, my bad, my goddaughter here.
She good, right?
But I got to a place where I really was like, I felt like I can just go everywhere, you know? Like, being like, we all be like, yo, we anointed, we this and that, da, 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 da. Like, I was going into places that, like, I shouldn't have been, you know what I'm saying? Like, nothing wild and crazy, but it was just like my level of not knowing how valuable I was. I gave everybody access to me. And that's what caused me to be in the position that I was in. You know, even though it was a mistaken identity type thing, and we ain't got to go into that, but like, even though that was the case, like, it was just because I was in that space of, I can just do what I want. I can just go here. I can be there. I can be here. I can be there. I can do this. I can do that. I can, bam, I'm here. I'm out here. Like, so it was like, I didn't value that until I woke up and I couldn't feel nothing. I couldn't move. Like, I was just laying there and I was just like, yeah, I'm about to die. Like, I told my mom, I said, mom, if I can't play drums, like, take it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, we can do whatever we gotta do. We could pray, we could have church, we can do all of that. Like, I was at a point where I said, let me go. Like, I wanna go. Like, I wanna be out, because I don't know how to move. I don't play sports. You know what I mean? I just got one of them one up stand-up NBA jam games things. I just worked one of them the other day because I've been in the house, you know what I'm saying? Like, and it's like, this all that I have, all I have is music. So it definitely opened my mind to, like, knowing not only am I talented, not only am I gifted, but I'm anointed. And if I take my anointing lightly, it could be taken away from me. And if I put myself in a situation where my life is gone, I'm affecting everybody that's connected to me. Because everybody that's connected to me, it's like when they say my cup runneth over. You know what I mean? You got that teacup, but you got that plate that's under the cup. Like, if that cup was to fall, there's no reason for this plate to be there. You know what I'm saying? Like the tea that's, all the little tea that's falling over, like all of my blessings that's falling over into my friends' laps and all of the doors that are opening up because I'm walking into them first, it ain't gonna be that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Because I'm comfortable, like, and I'm valuable. So now I see that. I see how valuable I am. I can't go everywhere. I go to the same places, bro. I don't do nothing different. It ain't, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, that's what it is, bro.
I don't think a lot of times we think of ourselves as commodity, man, and you're able to help people do different things, man, and also that put people on. And I had the opportunity, even with this show, you know, build a team around me with all of this, man, and just have different people in my circle. So I definitely hear you, man, because I took things for granted as well. But I'm glad to hear that from you, and I'm glad that you testified on that a little bit to be able, you know, help you
guys go
through that. But I want to say something else to you, man, because I know this has been paramount for me, and actually, I'm gonna have a livable moment, a teachable moment for me. The pandemic got me in a state of depression. For a guy, I was able to move around, you know, do what I do, go in arenas, go in stadiums, talk to people, and host, and then DJ in front of the Pentagon, in front of 20,000 people, and all the things I was able to do. The pandemic sat me down, and I can remember just being on my mother's couch, and she was gonna say, "Baby, it's gonna be all right." And I was just really at the cusp of a lot of different things, man, from the XFL and everything. And you being a kid, man, being my young fella that's just been around so many different things, international stages, domestic stages, LA, the A, everywhere. Mm-hmm. What did you go through in the pandemic, man? Because I know it sat you down. You couldn't tour. You couldn't move around. We used to moving around, and you couldn't, bro. So talk about your story in the pandemic, man, because I talked to a lot of cats, but I want to hear yours.
Man, I'm going to keep it all the way 100 with you,
please,
bro.
Please do.
It just hit me yesterday.
Wow. Okay.
Like, no lie. Like, I had a moment yesterday. Not going to lie, I say I didn't have, like, moments where I was like, man, I miss being outside. I miss doing this. Or I miss playing drums. Like, I definitely did, but it made I'm a hustler. So, like times like this, like, I made bread during the pandemic. Like, I was, when they said we had to wear masks, I went and bought hundreds and thousands of masks. I bought thermometers before mugs had thermometers. I bought all of that. Like, so I was hustling. Like, I was making sure my people were straight. I was connected with the funeral homes, all that. Like, so I was up. So the money thing ain't never stopped. And I saved my bread. So, like, I was on tour for a whole year. I came home, I still had all that bread. So, like, that part didn't really matter. It was just the music that, like, that's really all I have. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that's my go-to. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I play drums. If I'm having a good day, I play drums. If I can't think, I play drums. Or, you know, so I go to church or things. Mm-hmm. Church was shut down. But yesterday, man, I've been tapping into another world that I wish I could speak on it right now, but I can't.
It's cool. Because
I maybe we could talk about it later, like another day, me and you could just talk personally. But I've been tapped into another world. It still has something to do with music, but I just been doing something different. And it's overwhelming because of the attention that I'm getting for it. So it's like when God's speaking to you and you know something good about to happen, but it's always something bad that happens first, right? Yeah. So nothing drastic has happened to me, but I feel like the pandemic is like one of those things where it's like I'm seeing like the grass is cut. So I'm looking and I'm seeing all the snakes. I'm seeing everybody, you know, that really wasn't there for me. I'm seeing all of this, all of that stuff. So yesterday I really had a moment where it hit me like, yo, you gotta do it. Like, it was random though, bro. Like it wasn't a thing of like me being at a place where like it was a writing or somebody sent me this. It was like I was sitting down and someone was like, go play the piano. And I was just making music. I was just what? And then it was just like, like God speak to me in different ways, bro. And like music is kind of like his way of like talking to me. So like it hit me like in the back of my neck, like boom, and I just broke down and I was just playing and then I blacked out and I woke up and I was just like, I was still playing, but it was like that moment of just like, all right, this is what you're supposed to be doing. Like, you okay, you good. But it's the shift, man. It's the level up. It's the moment of understanding like with God, all things are possible. And this is the all things are possible moment. You know what I mean? And I tried my hardest to not focus on what's going on right now, but what to focus on the after this. And I think that because the after this is finally coming, everything that I was praying for is unfolding and I'm seeing it. So it's becoming overwhelming because I prayed for it. You know what I mean? Like, you manifesting this, I manifest so much stuff to now that to see it happening and unfolding. It's like, oh my God, it's happening. I got to hurry up. But God had to really tell me like, chill, you walking, you good, you gliding. Just take your time and let it just happen. So that's really what it's been for me. Like, of course, I had my moments again. Like, I'm not going to lie to you and say I didn't have my moments where I missed the stage. You're talking to a young boy that's been touring every year since 2013. You know what I'm saying? So, like I had so much stuff lined up last year that didn't happen that I'm just like, but I dropped 2 singles with my band. You know what I mean? Like, I'm fixing my house up. You know what I mean? Like, I got to tap into another world of music that I never thought I'd tap into. And I'm very successful in that. So it's like, I'm focusing on my singing. I'm getting everything from Trey to now this rock star billionaire drummer can blossom because of the pandemic. Because if it wasn't for the pandemic, I'd be playing for an artist. I'd be on tour with somebody. I wouldn't be focused on me. I wouldn't be able to drop home. I wouldn't be able to drop role play. I wouldn't be able to finish my album. I wouldn't have been able to travel. I've been traveling. I've been going to Atlanta and going to LA every month. Like, I wouldn't have been able to do all of those things. So it's a blessing, and it's a blessing. And of course, like I said, you had to sit down, but God has a way of sitting you down to show you what you're supposed to be doing for real. Cause I've been aligned with God for so long, but you know, of course, when you're traveling and stuff, certain things that you do, it switch up, you know?
Take so over. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. So now it's like, I've been tapped in more with God more than ever. So now I feel confident. I'm back. Like, you know, my face clearing up, you know what I mean? Like, I've been working out, I'm getting a little muscles. I've been losing and gaining muscles and losing weight. You ain't got my gut no more. You know what I mean? Like, so it's been a blessing, man. I'm just grateful, man, that, you know, that life is still moving, and it could have been worse. I could have been like a lot of other people that I thought was going to be winning. They ain't winning. A lot of people lost. And, you know, for me to have set myself up back in 2012.
Right.
Now.
Right.
I'm where I'm at because of that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't played for no artists this whole time. I had artists calling me left and right to come out and play for them. But I'm like, I'm not playing for you for chump change. Like, I know my worth now. You know what I mean? Like, I know what I'm capable of doing. Like I had rappers, man. If I tell you the name of rap, you'd be like, what? And they couldn't pay. No, and I wasn't even asking for nothing crazy, but it was God, like, showing me, like, yo, you are who you are for this reason. Like, you connected to these people for this reason. You play for this artist for this reason. You have this gift and this anointing for this reason. So anything that I want to do, I can do without the help of somebody else that I think I need. Like
that.
You know, so yeah.
That's crazy. They think we're gonna take pennies for what we worth, man. And
you tripping.
I've had organizations and teams try to hit you with the I'm good, I'll just wait. It's cool. I'll be all right. Yeah. It's cool.
And it hurt because you really be thinking you be needed, and then you look up and you be like, man,
God has a way of providing other ways. So sometimes I've said to people, that's cool. Y'all see me around the corner in a second. Like, you're gonna still see me in traffic. So whether you wanna stop, it's up to you, but I'm gonna still get it either way. And you're right, because we hustle, we build differently. Yeah. I want to say this as my final question, and I'm gonna chop it up with you after that for a second. But yo, bro, I'm proud of you. I can't say this enough, man. You're part of musical history. And the ironic thing is, I don't even know if you paid attention to this, but watch this. The first original people to get Grammys are Will Smith as the Fresh Prince and Jazzy Jeff as, you know, DJ Jazzy Jeff. For you to be a part of musical history, giving credits, giving so many different things with your God-given ability. Do you ever sit back and think about that? And you also look about the 360, like, man, listen, the first boys to turn down a Grammy are from Philly, and now I'm here with Grammys myself as a young boy from Philly, man. What does that mean to you? How does that resonate? How does that look different?
Man, what's crazy is, bro, my album that we did, man, I did the whole album at Jazzy Jeff house.
That is crazy.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so you even saying that alone is like, it's mind blowing. So I don't even know, man. Like, I'm just grateful, bro. Like,
you got musical history. Yo, Ice Cold, that don't happen every day, man. Like,
no, it don't.
You go out your house like, yo, I'm part of musical history. How y'all doing? That's it.
That's facts. It's facts. And it's humbling because it's like I'm learning, bro, because I'm going, like, I know God taking me higher and higher and higher and higher and higher. And every time I go higher and higher and higher, I see people getting lower and lower and lower with their words, with the way they look at me, with the way they speak to me, all of that. You know what I mean? So it's like I'm just looking at it like at a place of like, man, when Jesus walked out of that tomb, what did they say about him, bro?
All I could imagine, man.
And I'm not comparing myself to Jesus, but what I'm saying to you is, I'll be a fool to not keep my mind on him and worry about man. You know what I mean? I'd be a fool, because if we're supposed to be like Christ, then why would I act not act like him, you know what I mean? Or try to be, you know, close to that, because I'm not perfect, you know what I'm saying? But why would I not want to look at things in his way? You know what 100%. I mean? Why not? Like, what would Jesus do? Like, 100%. I just ordered 50 of those what would Jesus do bracelets, because I'm like, when this world opened up, I'm going to need that, because I know where I'm going. It's going to be a lot of tests, because I know how much I've been in hibernation during this time, that when I step out into the world this go round, I'm going to get tested in so many ways that I'm going to have to really be like, all right, what would Jesus do? Because if I'm going to test this $1 billion and a dude start talking crazy to me, and I'm this entity and I'm this leader, what would Jesus do? Because I got young boys that look at me, you know what I'm saying? I got old men I got older dudes that look up to me, you know what I'm saying? Like, so it's just that moment, man, of where I'm just grateful, bro. And I can't say that enough, man. Like, that's just where I'm at, man. To come from where I come from, to be, man, I taught at my school, my middle school and high school, like a few weeks ago before I went to the A. And even just looking at that, like, and the teachers is on there, like, it's crazy that we really, like, how we talked to you while you was here. Like, we really, like, we didn't believe you, but you walked around knowing you was going to be what you are. And to see you being it, and you're not even near where you nowhere near where you about to go. Like, God is real, bro. Like, that's just the end of it. And that's all I wanted. That's all I want people to see. I just want people to see my light, man. I don't care about nothing else.
Definitely. That's it. Listen, man, it's been a pleasure chopping it up. Like I told you, I'm going to keep it under hour. You family, bro. And I got to hold you to that, man, because y'all know you got things to do and I ain't want to belabor the point.
Yeah, my goddaughter in here tripping out.
Yeah, I'm going to let you go handle that, but I got to ask you one quick thing real fast. In your mind's eye, bro, who are the top five for you most inspirational drummers that you've ever encountered?
That I ever encountered?
Or just not even encountered, but just in your opinion, who are the top five drummers that inspire you?
That inspire me, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to start from the top. No specific order, so I'm gonna just say it in the top five. All right, so you got Brian Fraser Moore. He's my Michael Jordan. Then you have Travis Barker, who I look up to.
Yeah.
Like something crazy. You have Questlove, who I look up to as well. You have Spanky McCurdy, who had a big influence in my life. And the fifth person would have to be Chris Dave. I love Chris Dave because not only because he's a cool dude, but because he's innovative. Like I got a piece. You know what? It got to be six. Eric Tribbett. That's my MVP. Eric Tribbett is my MVP.
Okay.
And I chose him to be my MVP because he was the first rock star I ever seen as a drummer. I'm talking about S550, 745s, Breitling watches, his own tour bus, living in high rises downtown, stayed in the Borgata for 2 years because Lil Wayne paid for it. Like, you know what I mean? Like tattoos, fly. Like he was a millionaire drummer, you know what I mean? And he was my biggest, and he's still one of my biggest inspirations, you know what I'm saying? But yeah, I chose them five, man. Travis Barker, because it's Travis, you know what I mean? He set the trend, you know what I mean? He's the rock star. He's the real rock star. You got Questlove because he's a business, you know what I mean? You see him, he's a brand, and that's where I got my brand. Right. You got Brian Fraser Moore, because Brian Fraser Moore had been around since I was born, you know, he's Philly, you know what I mean? You had him and Lil Jon. Lil Jon, of course, is somebody that I look up to, but Brian is, that's my vein. That's my big bro. Justin Timberlake, Jay, anybody, all of them shows Adam play on, that's him playing drums, yeah. You know what I mean? Aaliyah, you know what I'm saying? Like all back, Genuine, like all of those back in the day, all of that stuff. Like, I said Spanky because that's who I was raised around, you know, like he was the bridge. And man, that's just what it is. Chris Dave and Innovator, and then, you know, E-Trip. So that was my top five plus MVP.
I appreciate that. Listen, young fella, before we get out of here, I want to make sure that you tell everybody where they can catch the wave. They want to get on the one. They want to get some of the merch. They want to get some of the spit. Find, download the music, the platforms. Go ahead, talk. Let's to that. Where can they find you at? Go ahead.
All right. So right now, On The One Nation, we on Instagram, On The One Nation. You can follow the page, cop up on these. I got these black truckers that I dropped. I'm about to release some new hats. But you can hit me up on there in the DM. with the brand, with the clothes. And for myself, man, just to follow me, man, you just know it's underscore Treyway, TREWAYITS underscore TREWAY. Anything, you know, pertaining to music, live shows, all of that. My band, the underscore the Now Generation. We dropped Home on Thanksgiving. We dropped Role Play last May. That's another crazy record that we did, man. And yeah, man, just stay tuned, man. It's getting turned up. And if y'all in the Philly area, man, the next 3 months, I'm gonna be doing these parties, like these, you know, just like R&B / industry nights where, you know, we've been playing live music, good vibes, good energy, DJs, special guest artists. And we're just gonna be just turned up, man. And the album went away, Thompson Street.
Definitely, definitely. Well, listen, young fella, it's a pleasure to know you. It's a pleasure.
Man, I love you, dog. I love you, dog. Let me just let that know that right there, bro. I love you, bro. And everything that you got going on, I've been watching you, with you yelling and screaming in the middle of the basketball games. You showing love to everybody. You DJing, all that. Since day one, A1, you've been a real one. And I love you. I appreciate you. And ain't nothing ever going to change. You know what I mean? I can pull up on you when it's open up. From you, Marcus, Derek, Willie, all of y'all, man. Like, y'all all looked out for me when I was a young boy. And still to this day, you know what I mean? RIP to my dog, Marcus. Who's one of the reasons why I play drums to this day. So
yeah. I want to dedicate this show to Marcus and Sean, man, because them brothers will be always missed. And shout out to all of our brothers from the convention years, man.
Yeah.
Some of them are doing some amazing things, man, from the Erie side to the West side, East, Central, everybody, man. So I want to dedicate this show to y'all as well.
Okay.
But listen, Ice Core, I appreciate you, man. You could have did 101 things in the world, but you decided to sit down with me, and I appreciate that.
We locked in for life, bro.
Definitely. I appreciate that. Listen, man, whatever you need, count it a blessing. It's already done for you. You just got to let me know. It's been a pleasure sitting with you, man. It's been another great episode of The Stoop. To everybody, make sure you like, subscribe, and tune into the episode, man. For my man Kev, who's not here, it's me once again. We'll catch you soon. Take care.